The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this Tuesday, 19 December 2017. Jeff is not here today. Mr. Bennett has got the bug. As I understand, Mike Rivero had, again. Didn't he have that just a couple of weeks ago? But at any rate, his wife got the bug. Yeah, he did, because he had to go to the hospital. At any rate, his wife got the bug, and he got rebugged. And he was only able to do about an hour of his own show today. So, the bug is out there, folks. You start thinking about it, and then you start thinking about the things that you touch. But, do you know how many times you put your hands to your own face during the course of a day? Too many to count. So if there's some germs out there, whether you're directly sprayed by a sneeze or if the germs are around and you pick them up, you're going to transmit them, and you do it unconsciously. Hope you stay healthy for at least the Christmas season. No fun throwing up in a bucket on Christmas Day. Gosh, thinking about the turkey or the ham, every time you think of it, you just want to retch. I've had that happen. Not a whole lot of fun. At any rate. So, more than 100 million Americans depend on Medicare, Medicaid for their health care. They intend to save Medicare by modernizing it. Wow. So how's that working out? It's not. It is not. And of course, being the stand-up party that they are, Republicans accept the responsibility to preserve and modernize the system of retirement security forged in an old industrial era. And as I said, they even floated the idea around of a lockbox, kind of symbolic of you politicians, keep your hands off the people's money. Yeah, there's no lockbox. Republicans believe that the path to fiscal sanity, and I must say, let me stop and digress once again. I told you I wouldn't be able to get through this because so many other things just pop up. Fiscal sanity and economic expansion. This is what they claim that they are. If you ask a Republican, ask any Republican, what does being a Republican in modern day in America actually mean? Well, to be fiscally responsible? Really? Then why are we spending $250 million a day for 16 years straight fighting wars that we should have never started in the first place in the Middle East? Answer me that one. They can't. Of course not. And how did healthcare in this country get all screwed up? You guessed it. The government got involved in the healthcare industry. Taking those massive donations from the insurance companies, making it harder for hospitals to do their jobs and deliver service at a reasonable price. Remember those days, folks? I can remember them. They don't want you to. But I can remember where you could get a broken arm x-rayed and fixed. Or you could get some medium-grade surgery done without having to hawk the house or sell the grandkids. I remember those days. Of course, I also remember when cars were cars, men were men, and women were women. And if they weren't, the car was a piece of crap, and the other ones were confused, to be ignored, and just stepped around, and you move on with your life. So, the sanity and economic expansion, and wait a minute, let me stop and digress again. How can we have economic prosperity with a broken financial system, with a broken money system? Answer that, they can't, and never will. People in this country, if you ask them, what's money? Or if you really want to make it hard on them, ask them what an honest money system is. That'll really throw them in a tizzy. I swear to God, I have run into people at even coffee shops in Georgetown, Texas on a Sunday afternoon. Two old farts sitting around musing about this and drinking their nice coffee and just me asking a few questions and people looking at me like I just dropped off an alien planet. As if I was some sort of infection into their brains and their trains of thought. I looked at one guy and I said, well, you do know, of course, that the Federal Reserve System isn't federal and it's a privately owned company for profit. You did know that. No, it isn't. And I said, you two are sitting here trying to intellectualize and you don't know that? I would suggest you quit talking to each other, shut your mouths, open up your ears, and at least get out some reading material that's worth reading. Try that one. Guy didn't want to believe that the Federal Reserve wasn't federal. Holy mackerel, I about fell over. And I looked at him and I said, you're an intellectual? You guys are sitting... I didn't say that. I said, I asked if you were having an intellectual conversation. You both agreed. I said, so that would set you up as being some sort of intellectual. I'm not saying that you're the brain power of the earth here. But intellectually, you didn't know that? Wow. So how am I to believe anything else that you believe? Or if you talk to me long enough, I'd put you in a rubber room because your head would explode. Was he crazy? Of course not. Was I? Absolutely. Don't let the facts get in the way. Well, that's another political tactic anymore. Well, we just have the facts. Now, you can have the facts about something, but somebody's got to be wrong with their facts. That's another thing. In political arguments, both sides claim to have the facts. Yeah. Okay. Of course, they can't face the fact that 85% of the American people would care less if they all jumped in the Potomac River and drowned. And that's a fact. That's a fact. All right. Republicans believe that past sanity and economic expansion and fiscal responsibility and all that stuff begins with a constitutional requirement for a federal balanced budget. Does that mean the Republicans ever intend to have a balanced budget? Of course not. And how? And here's the Mac Daddy of all questions. The last president to have a balanced budget was Bill Clinton. Oh, okay. All right. Is that a fact? It might be a fact. Save for one problem. How can you have a balanced budget when you owe so much money? It's not a balanced budget. You may be balancing the goes into versus the goes out of this year. You may claim that you have everything covered except for one thing. The juice is still running on all that back debt. So I guess it's really not balanced, is it? Republicans maintain that our national debt is a burden on our economy and our families. The huge increase in the national debt under Obama, when the Republicans controlled the House for 4 years and both houses of Congress for 2 years, has placed a significant burden on future generations. Does this mean the Republicans ever intend to reduce the debt? Of course not. Republicans maintain that they will prioritize thrift over extravagance and put you, the taxpayer, they're going to put you first. They propose the following test. Is a particular expenditure within the constitutional scope of the federal government? If not, stop it. Wow. Does this mean that Republicans actually intend to follow the Constitution? Of course not. Mike in Colorado. Hello, Mike.
Hey, John, I would love to talk to you about the left-right paradigm, but...
Of course not.
Good one! So, yesterday I was going to call, but I was having a little RBN listening party with a couple of my neighbors.
Mm.
Trying to get them a little bit educated.
And which program did you have on?
Well, yours.
Well, you should have called in and said, hey, my buddies are here. I would have called them out by at least their first names.
I was so close because the caller had mentioned that we're ready for the second... American Restoration Project.
Uh-huh.
And I was ready to grab the phone, but I didn't want to distract them because they'd never heard you before, and they were getting pretty intense, and we had a good conversation after the fact.
Wow, did I actually make some sense to them?
You did, and I think you have at least a couple new listeners and hopefully a couple new donors, but...
Well, we'll see with that. You know, because I'm gonna tell you something. People that are not educated on to really what's going on, and people presenting the facts as to actually what's going on, I am going to piss them off one way or another in the future. I can guarantee you.
Well,
because they're going to have this thing stuck in their brain that's been welded right to their brain cells that think it's an immutable fact. And I'm going to say something, and they're going to go, oh, that can't be right.
And I can't listen to that guy anymore.
There you go.
And people need to power through that. And, I don't think I've ever had that with you. I've had that with some other hosts, but... You got to put your personal feelings aside, and power through to the information. And that was part of why I was going to call you yesterday, because people that have read the history, and I know you're one of them, and a lot of your listeners are, when that first revolution happened, there were troops quartered in people's homes. They'd taken away their script already, and they were getting ready to take away the gunpowder. So...
Mm-hmm.
And we're not there. I mean, yeah, they push on us hard and they rob us blind, but if they do make a move for the guns and if they do go to a digital currency, we're going to be about two steps closer than we've ever been to a second one. But the pain that people are perceiving right now, those colonists went through so much more before they finally snapped.
Well, and keep in mind, because it is true, and I'd actually heard various representatives from various agencies, and usually these are the ones that go out and commit government-sanctioned murder. I'd heard presentations done over Waco by various heads of federal agencies telling rooms full of people that, well, you know, the terrorists of the day were actually the colonists. And if you think about that in a proper light, that they were the early-day terrorists that were overthrowing the king's rule. And at first, I bristled at that, and I thought, you know, that's total poppycock. And I actually thought about it. From their perspective, meaning the English, that's exactly what was happening, and they weren't going to have anything to do with that. They were going to confiscate the shot and the powder, and they were going to tax at will, and they were going to punish wherever they thought punishment was due, because we had these surly people of England on this new continent or new part of the continent over here, and... Well, they're just going awry, so we got to do something about that. From that perspective, I wouldn't call us terrorists, but I would definitely call us people that had an idea that, wait a minute, there's a better way to run a government. And here
it
is.
Well, absolutely, yeah. And historically, those two ideologies never really match each other. And
no.
If one of them pushes it further than a human can tolerate, and you know, you've been through the ringer, and I've been through the ringer, and we know humans can tolerate a boatload of emotional abuse before anything really transpires.
Yes, so, but see, here's the trick. You've got to become comfortably numb.
Unfortunately.
And here's the extreme of becoming comfortably numb. You can desensitize yourself to the point where it really doesn't hit you of what you're actually thinking about and what you're talking about. And that, I've always been conscious of that, and a little bit of that creeped out yesterday on yesterday's program. where I'm actually talking about things that people for a number of years in this country have talked about, well, this is the last straw, namely UN troops on the streets of anywhere USA. And I'm getting people calling in and wanting to orate and whatever, and I'm running out of time, and I got half a dozen callers there. I got a little testy because I put out information. To my knowledge, nobody else in the alternative media has even touched. No. We had the clown on film telling the world that Chicago's got a problem. We got blacks killing blacks and this rampant gun violence, and we're going to go to the UN. We're going to go to the people that want to do away with guns altogether, except for their forces and the police and the downsized militaries within inside these countries. But no, any private individual with firearms, that is an absolute no-no. But you can make that statement that, to me, it rocked me right to my core. But I looked around. Nobody else was talking about it. Nobody else carried the story. It's like it didn't exist. It didn't happen. And I was testy yesterday when people just wanted to ramble on. And, you know, the one guy called in, bless his heart, said, well, I got about 5 minutes here. I'm sorry, I only got 4 minutes left in the show. Well, I'll call in another time. Yeah, please do that. You know, but the point that there are things going on right now that should have people's heads popping right off their shoulders. And it seems like another desensitized day in the new America with a K.
Yeah, and I get that from my friends and from people around me and from the shopkeepers I know and stuff like that. And they're overloaded, but I think part of why the 3% were the 3%, because those are the people like you or myself or other people who host and call in and stuff and listen, who it's never going to happen to them, even if we wanted it to. I would love to put the blinders on, go back to sleep, grab some credit cards, and go to town.
Oh, brother, you and I both, man. Do you know how much I fantasize about laying on a black sand beach down in Hawaii, drinking those little drinks with the umbrellas in them in retirement? If I didn't spend my life doing this, I would have been more than likely a successful businessman. Would have had a retirement. Would have had the rest of my life planned out. And one of those salient wonderful moments would have been drinking those umbrella drinks. But that ain't the case.
It's not in you.
No, it wasn't.
And it wasn't in our founders either, so they can call them slave owners or whatever they call them. They were men who preferred truth and justice over anything at any cost. And I think we have a lot of people like that. So when you get those calls with those people that aren't that way, I just pat them on the head like you do and move on.
Well, and it wasn't, I don't want to leave the impression that that's what the callers were doing yesterday. They weren't. But they weren't catching the immediacy of what I was telling them, that there may be a second American Revolution, or as I was reminded, the Restoration Project, which I like so much better. It sounds so much fun, and you know, you're going to be real pleased with the end product because you know what it was, and you know how to make it that way again.
Right.
You know? So,
yeah. Thanks for taking my call, John.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
So, the Republicans oppose any attempt. See, I like doing this because we're always banging on the Democrats. You know, the other part of the one-party system. Republicans. And by the way, this is a stalling point. I guess Mr. Paul, Rand Paul, he didn't want this this FISA thing, or they wanted it to do away with it. That doesn't need to be in its tax bill. Get rid of that. You know, the pooping and snooping on American people under the guise of we're looking for terrorists. When the government itself and all of its entities and its military have been real terrorists around the world. Just ask any of the undead that are laying next to the dead and a recipient of our kind, loving gestures to restore what? And what were we doing in the Middle East? Wow. See, notice that question is never asked. Excuse me, what was the intention? We're going on 16 years of continual war. How many trillions of dollars have been spent? And what was our objective, and where are we at with that objective? Did we win yet? Oh, see, folks, there's no winning against terrorism. That's going to be a forever thing. So we're just going to have to remain ever vigilant, and we're going to have to keep telling you that we're trying to balance taking your rights away from you versus kind of giving you a safe environment. Yeah. But see, that's going to go on forever. Wow. Like the boot on your face for the rest of your life. But don't worry, it's a good boot. Republicans oppose any attempts by government to require surveillance devices in our daily lives, including tracking devices in motor vehicles. Americans must retain the right to communicate with one another free from unlawful government intrusion. Well, they've granted themselves a lot of permissions and they called it legal. Does this mean the Republicans are opposed to NSA domestic surveillance programs? Of course not. Republicans pledge to restore the proper balance of vertical separation of powers between the federal government and the state governments. They refer to the 10th Amendment. They maintain that every violation of state sovereignty by federal officials is not merely a transgression of one unit of government against another. It's an assault on the liberties of the individual Americans. This is in their platform, folks. I'm not making this crap up. Does this mean that Republicans want to end the unconstitutional federal war on drugs and leave all drug laws up to the states? Of course not. Because if that was done, you would have seen some precedents being set. You would have seen states not legalizing necessarily, but decriminalizing. By doing that, you start to remove the profit motive out of dealing drugs. You do that, why would anybody want to deal drugs if they're really not going to make that much money off of it? Wow. Wow. Now there's a hell of a concept that was considered by active judges, seated judges, chiefs of police. From their vantage point and what they're doing and their continual war on the lawbreakers, drugs, 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 drugs. The more they'd arrest, the more that would pop up. The more that would pop up, the more they'd arrest, and on the story goes. And never a resolution. As a matter of fact, if we were getting anywhere close to this war on drugs and a victory, yeah, so what do? We do things like leave the southern border open. Allow people, MS-13 from Honduras, to come across the borders. I kid you not, folks. If you want to see what's going on with the borders on Nat Geo, National Geographic, they have a show called Border Wars. And I watched about 4 episodes of that the other day. Back to back to back to back. What they're doing on the border to combat drugs. And anywhere from ripping a car apart that's trying to cross between the two countries, especially from Mexico and the United States, because importing drugs from the United States into Mexico, the cartels wouldn't like that very much, and you'd probably end up really, really dead. But they would show you their techniques of x-raying and bringing out the dogs and catching cars that are coming across the border from Mexico, and they'd get in there with their implement tools of destruction to rip cars apart to find the drugs. Or x-raying cars of trains that were coming across the southern border, or out in the deserts of the desert southwest with their high-tech equipment, forward-looking infrared radar, helicopters equipped the same way, radio communication, seeing the mules. And we talk about people coming across the border illegally. Now they're illegal immigrants when they are actually illegal aliens. See how we soften that one. But many of them muling drugs over. And they got sophisticated to the point, once they were discovered, by the time Border Patrol would show up to round them up and arrest them, they'd already have the drugs hidden. And of course, they would be taken into custody, put in a van, put in temporary detention, put back over the border. Guess what they would do? either themselves show up to retrieve the drugs again, and they interviewed people that had been doing this 15, 20, 25 times, getting popped every time, but they knew they were going to make it. So you just draw up a map for somebody, or you go yourself, pay some coyote, money to smuggle you across the border, and go retrieve that stuff, and you're on your merry way. Back-to-back hours of that. You want to get a good view of what's going on? Catch that on National Geographic. It's not the most graphic stuff, but it'll give you a pretty good explanation of the tonnage of drugs coming. And I'm talking tonnage of drugs that's coming into this country every single day. Further destabilizing us, our society, and our culture. Who in their right minds would ever say to Donald Trump, making a secure border is not a good idea. Building a wall, well, that's just stupid. We have other infrastructure problems. Huh? What? Sovereign man. What's on your mind?
Oh, mic's open.
I'm sorry?
I didn't hear the mic open.
Well, it's open now.
Well, hallelujah for that.
How about that?
It's been a while, John.
What's on your mind?
Have you seen this article over Abel Danger? It's titled, What I Have Been Afraid to Blog About, the ESF and its History of Funding Covert Operations. Man, it's like five videos. It's a mind blower.
And who is the ESS?
The ESF is part of the deep state. It has to do with the Treasury Exchange Stabilization Fund.
Okay.
And that's where the OSF and the OPC, you got the CIA.
Any other trimmed down federal stuff that you want to throw in there?
I mean, John, if you got 2 hours to invest, I mean, it's really hard to give me a tweak on my brain with this stuff. And that was very enlightening.
Well, can you do me a favor? Email that over to me and I'll take a look at it.
I sent it to Skype a couple days ago. Mikey's got it.
Okay, well. Okay, that's not to me. That goes to Mikey.
Yeah,
if you,
I know.
If you want Johnny to see something, send it to Johnny, not Mikey.
Yeah, well, give out your email again.
johnstatmiller@hotmail.com. Hasn't
All
changed
right.
in 20 years, my friend.
I'll hop right on that.
All righty, thank you.
Blessings.
So, Republicans insist that overregulation is the quiet tyranny of the nanny state. Overregulation hamstrings American businesses and hobbles economic growth. Gosh, all this wisdom that they have. The federal regulatory burden has been a major contributor to economic stagnation. Does this really mean that the Republicans want to end the nanny state? No. This is what keeps getting them elected, by threatening you with the very same. That if they're not in there, they can't protect you. Of course, they've been doing pretty close to nothing all these years, but, when it really gets interesting is when they start threatening your Medicaid and Medicare and Social Security, and my God, if these people get in there, they're going to do away with that. Should have been never started. It should have been done away with a long time ago. But they're still, for political purposes, going to threaten you that, you're pretty close to the edge of the cliff, and one little stumble and you fall off into oblivion with nothing. Well, we pretty much have nothing because we're choked with debt, but they're still going to scare the hell out of you with it anyhow. Rather than coming up with a plan to do away with it and unhinge the federal government from stuff that they were never to be involved with in the first place. Of course not.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
A Republican till I can't see straight. Oh gosh. So Republicans insisted that overregulation thing is quiet tyranny, but did that mean anything to the Republicans? Of course not. Republicans recognize that Congress and federal agencies have increased the number of criminal offenses in the U.S. Code from 3,000 in the early 1980s. To more than 4,500 today. They acknowledge that the over-federalization of criminal justice is one of many ways in which the government in Washington has intruded beyond its proper jurisdiction. And now you know what's coming. Does that mean that Republicans want to eliminate all laws against victimless crimes? Of course not. So all said and told here, like I said, what a platform of lies. That is probably the best dissertation I've seen on what the Republicans really are in a very long time. You know, not a whole lot of people will put out Republican dirty laundry for all to see. Everybody's happy. And of course, the statists, the people that want you in this left-right paradigm, you know the good Republicans that I'm talking about. You know, the Rush Limbaughs of the world. With all of his reach, he has the American people, but I don't see the American people waking up under Rush Limbaugh. Gee, I wonder why. Because if Rush really told the honest-to-God, gritty truth about things, he would not be on the air. Now, it's a secret little fantasy. And I'm sure you've had these thoughts along the same lines that, you know, right before they get ready to retire, that they'll do a swan song, bang up, here's in your face truth show. Well, don't wait for that to happen. You know, I don't think Rush Limbaugh can hear the criticisms. I think he had a filter built into that, what do they call that, hearing device. Not colloquial. Cochlear. There you go. I'm sure it had a cochlear. There you go. I'm sure it had that kind of built-in filter and that new hearing device that he lost by, gosh, you know, what other criteria do you need to judge a drug addict? How many Oxycontin was he doing a day? 100 or something? Well, let me put it to you this way. So many that he lost his damn hearing. And of course, you know, the drug manufacturers and more importantly, the distributors. See, a lot of people don't understand how this drug industry works. You got your manufacturers. But like McKesson, one of the country's biggest, they make $100 million a week distributing the various drugs of the drug manufacturers. And, well, just not recently, they were caught doing this before. They're hell-bent on making everybody believe that we have an OxyContin chaos emergency going on. And there's a lot of people that are overdosing on this. But the federal government was not watching the distribution of the drugs. In one little Denver town, they were sending over enough OxyContin for a major-sized city like L.A. or Miami or Cleveland. We're talking about a town so small you could damn near count how many people were in the town on your toes and your fingers. But yet large shipments of OxyContin and other opioids were going over, and, well, just nobody just caught that. And of course, they were feeding what they referred to as being shady distribution online, come and get your drugs here. That they would continually ship to companies that had websites that were selling drugs that required prescription, but somehow they didn't require prescription, through them at least. And they were caught doing this before. So rather than the federal government being its efficient self to go get the bad guy through the regulatory and lawmaking process, they just turned right around and ignored what McKesson was doing and still continue to do to this day. Now, come on, move along. There's nothing to see here. I'm sorry. We overdid it with Rush here. I've got to make a correction. It wasn't 100 OxyContin a day. It was only 30. Okay, and that was according to People Magazine. Isn't that the same people that published Star? Oh, and folks, just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. A couple was furious as jury pays illegal aliens fine after they were found guilty of jewelry theft. I understand having compassion for people, yet as small as the fine was, it was the perfect opportunity to teach this young woman about personal responsibility for your actions. Fox News ran the story. A Virginia woman was outraged after the maid she hired stole $5,000 worth of jewelry from her house, and then the jury chipped in to pay for the woman's fine after the conviction of her theft. I'm not making it up. You can't make this stuff up. A sympathetic jury for the teenager who's pregnant with her second child and pulled together $80 to pay the fine after they convicted her. Jury foreman Jeffrey Memmott told the Washington Post the jurors felt sympathy for the woman who testified she dropped out of school after sixth grade, had one child, and was pregnant with another but not employed. Sixth grade? What? Whoa, Mike. How old are you in the sixth grade? 12? 11, 12 years old? You mean all the sex education in the public schools? Didn't teach him about prophylactics? She was pregnant in the sixth grade? Somebody was guilty of child molestation, I would say. But of course, the jury was sympathetic to the teenager who was pregnant with her second child and pulled together $80 to pay the fine after they convicted her. The general sentiment was that she was a victim too. Two of the woman jurors were crying because of how bad they felt. One lady pulled out a $20 bill, and just about everybody else chipped in. Memmott said that he contacted the case's public defender, and went to the former maid's home to give her $80, more than enough to pay for a $60 fine. Wait a minute. Where the hell is the $5,000 worth of jewelry? Was that claimed on insurance, and did they take up a pool to pay the insurance company back? We got a young lady here that stole $5,000 worth of jewelry. She gets convicted, and she only got an $80 fine? Where's the restitution for the $5,000 she stole? Boy, we're really getting magnanimous here, aren't we? Justice had to be done, Janice Woolridge, a juror, told the Washington Post, but there's also got to be some compassion somewhere. Young people make bad decisions. We just couldn't pile on anymore. Yeah, that's true. Young people make poor decisions sometimes. And then what comes after that? It's the retribution for your bad decision. To do what? To teach you a lesson. There's no lesson here. The lesson is I can get pregnant, and I can tell a sob story, and I can steal some woman's $5,000 worth of jewelry. I can go get convicted, but yet I can walk out the door. What did she learn? What was it, P.T. Barnum? Used to say there's a sucker born every minute. I don't know how many people were on that jury, but they were suckers. Gosh, I have a story I wished I could tell you people that related to me when I was a younger man. But I won't. But let me just say, I was not in the right. And the man that was pressing charges against me just looked at me, and a very friendly man. And I actually got it when he said it. He said, you know, I'm going to press charges against you. And he says, I hope you don't hold that to me personally. And he says, I hope this is a lesson that you will learn. And he did it in an earnest way. Did he drop the charges? No, he didn't. Did I get the retribution for my actions? You bet your sweet bippy I did. Did I ever do that thing again? No, I did not. I didn't claim anything. I didn't try to pass it off to anybody. I didn't cry that I had a lousy childhood, that, you know, it was in my weaker moment, and I'll never do it again. No, I faced the music, and I learned my lesson, and I went and I sinned no more. Wow. Charlie in L.A., and I take it to mean this is not Los Angeles.
Charlie. Yeah, it is Los Angeles.
It is?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yep.
I thought it was Lower Alabama, but I was just making a joke. Charlie, go ahead.
Okay, that's okay. As far as Rush Limbaugh goes, you know, if you listen to him before he supposedly went deaf and after he went deaf, you can't tell the difference.
No, I've listened to him, and I can't tell the difference.
You know, I'm suspicious whether he's completely deaf or not, because I know people with cochlear ears,
mm-hmm.
Nature business I've been in, And people who are deaf can't do three-hour radio shows every day.
Or you're going to notice a difference in their speech pattern because they can't really hear themselves speak or hear themselves talk the way they used to.
Yeah. He has some hearing. You know, I'll put it this way. If I have to make a bet that I'm sure that he can hear, I'm betting a lot of money. People with cochlear ears hear different tone. It's different. And for him to be yipping on the phone 3 hours a day, and he is fast, and there is no stenographer that fast, and he can't read that fast. So just tune into him and listen to him, and if you ever know anybody who's deaf.
Yeah, and I can agree with the tonal qualities. It's like the difference between hearing an old 78 record with a non-amplified through a horn. You know, there's not a whole lot of tonal quality. You can hear the tones, but they're chintzy and real thin sounding versus your full spectrum quadraphonic or stereo ears that you have right now. Yeah, there is a difference.
Cochlear ear is the last resort for people that are hard of hearing.
Yeah.
Because it's basic major league brain surgery. And so, but I mean, I'm just listen to the guy do the show and keep that in mind and see if you agree with me. Okay, thanks for taking my call.
All right. I don't see what difference it would make whether he lost his hearing because of OxyContin or not, but, you know, why would he put him through all of this stuff if he really didn't lose his hearing due to taking too much OxyContin? Daniel in Canada. Oh, Canada. Welcome, my friend. Welcome.
That's hilarious. Hi, John. I wanted to talk to you real quick about this train derailment. I was going to talk to Mike, but he's too sick today, obviously. Apparently, like, you go on and you Google this, and they're already trying to, Snopes.com, it says, oh, it wasn't Antifa. There's no proof of that. And the official story so far is that the train was too fast.
Right.
But I did some of my own digging, and, you know, from the mainstream media's own sources, there's an Amtrak superintendent named Gary Banks Olson. He was asked about the crash, and he says that particular event, the trains are supposed to go 30 miles an hour, but they can go up to 79 miles an hour. And another U.S. official...
Whoa, Daniel, back up. He said what now?
He said that the train was going too fast, but
no,
apparently the train can go faster than 30 miles an hour around that bend.
Well, I mean, could it, or did they just put that out as a suggested speed? The way I read this, and I worked on the railroad, you got a speed limit of 30, you go past that, and somebody discovers that, your goose is a little bit cooked. You're going to at least have the train master or somebody from the railroad climb directly in your stuff, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. But they don't have the information from the black boxes yet. I don't think they could have possibly have analyzed it yet. I mean, even if they would have put out an official narrative saying that they did. And some other official said that they think that something was on the tracks. There's a guy named Gus Ubaldi, and he told Patch, which is an Oregon source. He says, I'm beginning to lend credence to the idea that something was on the track, he said. The track behind the train, it's pristine, there are no marks. Did find out Antifa did this. You think, like, in the holiday season with all the Amtrak travelers, that they'd want to go public?
The whole thing is crooked. I mean, I've seen computer renditions already of what happened with this train and how the track curved and the train didn't. The train just went straight. Now, there's only two reasons, being on a railroad and actually traveling down a track on a train and knowing the dynamics of that situation, there's only two reasons why a train would leave the tracks. One, high speed, okay, and it literally jumps the track, or a defective track, or a track that's made defective by putting something on it to derail it. And that's not such an easy thing to do, because you're talking about massive weight at the contact point of these wheels on the steel rails. It takes a lot to jump a train off a track.
Yeah, when they have the computer animation, then you know it's total, because you know, they have that done so fast, and you know that's pretty much, you know, concrete in everyone's mind once they see that. So they don't know how fast this thing was going. They could only find out from the black boxes or from the conductor, and I don't know if they're in the hospital or what have you.
Well, from what Daniel, excuse me for interrupting here, but what I've seen is, I don't know which, I think there was only one engine to that train, and that engine didn't even fall over. It just went straight, went down an embankment behind or in front of the bridge, however you want to look at that, and it actually came to rest in an upright position. So if that black box was in that locomotive at the head of that train, they've already got the black box.
Yeah. You know, it is funny how it happened to cross and block both lanes of the I-5, which is, you know, one of the busiest freeways.
Okay. I'm sorry, you winked out on me, Daniel.
Just the way that they're trying to protect this Antifa group. That's really my point.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. And you don't know, and I don't know at this point if Antifa had a damn thing to do with this. So to make that leap of logic that somehow we're protecting Antifa because they did an act of terrorism, and I wouldn't even look at it that way, Daniel. I'm still stuck on stupid down here in the good old U.S. of A, because anything that's done by anybody for whatever reason is applicable under the law. Terrorism, if you cause somebody else's death, you can be brought up on murder charges and sent nicely to prison for the rest of your damn life if the jury and the judge so decides.
Yeah, it's just that Antifa actually claimed that they were sabotaging and pouring concrete on railroad tracks back in June of 2017. And that's the only reason this is, it was on InfoWars. Mike was talking about it today.
Mm.
So,
all right.
Who knows? You know, I'm just saying, you know, the way that the media protects Antifa, even though these guys walk around with masks.
No, I understand. I understand how they're protecting it, because they're one and the same. Their ideological beliefs, believe it or not, are pretty well matched up. And we're not going to attack a group unnecessarily, because we're terrorizing your mind by filling it full of crap. So what difference does it make if somebody puts a lump of concrete on a track? We don't see any difference. All right, Daniel, I appreciate your call.
Thank you.
All right. Well, is this Spokane or Spokane? Spokane, Washington. Hello, Sheldon.
Kane, if you're not here, it's Can if you do.
Okay. Does that apply to the same thing with people from Arkansas? Oh, I'm sorry. They say Arkansas.
Well, I've heard Arkansas, and that always got by me there. I've heard them say it, residents and non-residents both, so I don't think they have it down yet.
Okay. Well, Sheldon from Spokane, Washington, what's on your mind?
Well, first off, John, Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
And the second thing is, have you worked for the railroads any?
Yes, I have.
Me too. BN, Colorado on Southern, Denver and Rio Grande Western. And there's a lot of stuff that doesn't fit from that aerial. First off, you've got all that mass. Then you've got it going at 80 miles an hour. It doesn't usually stop on a dime like that aerial photo indicates. That's number one.
Uh-huh.
Number two is going southbound. You'll notice that curve turns to the, let's call it the east.
Okay.
You'll notice that in your last conversation, you said the train went forward and the tracks curved. If I could correct you, that train should have done that. They usually do. I haven't been on one when that happened, but I've just been at a lot of wreck sites and we're passing together. All of that damage seems to have fallen inside and against centrifugal force laying into the curve.
You noticed that. Thank you.
Number three, here's the third thing I noticed. Helen Keller would be the only one to take a curve, and it's not sharp, but it's not straight. You're going to enter into that at 80, 79 miles an hour?
Doesn't make any sense, does it?
all three of those things are like I'm tuning into some. It gets so off the wall, John. I can't even think of a word to try to exaggerate and describe it.
Well, and
major things there.
And Sheldon, I'm in agreement with you. If that, and we're talking about relatively a short distance, that somehow that train came off of the tracks and headed forward. Okay, so we're saying here that centrifugal force, if that thing got derailed, it would have been at an angle, and chances are it wouldn't have ended up on its original trucks. In other words, shiny side down.
Well, that as well, also. But you wouldn't have probably, unless it accordioned, you wouldn't have anything sitting inside the curve. It'd all be a strewn on the outside of the curve. You're right, it would have been bent over, and a real locomotive, an SD-45, SD-9, old Alcos, those are 200 tons apiece. This lead unit didn't weigh that much, but there was many times that when you consider all the mass of all those rail cars together. And I just can't see them stopping literally the length of two or three cars, which is what you see there.
Yeah. I'm in full agreement with you. And what, three of those cars dropped onto I-5 and blocked that all up? If that train if that train was traveling at 80 miles an hour and left the tracks where they depicted it, you're right. Those cars would have been all over the place, and three of them not conveniently and neatly parked on I-5.
You know, and that'd be like throwing a deck of cards in your great room. I mean, it wouldn't be all nice and neat like it is.
You're right about that. It would have been a hell of a lot messier, and a lot more people would have died. So maybe it wasn't. Maybe it wasn't 80 miles an hour. Sheldon, I'm out of time in this hour. I appreciate your call.
Take care, man. Merry Christmas again.
By the way, Norfolk and Western.
Okay.
At one time, I worked the biggest switching yard in Bellevue, Ohio.
Oh, well, my grandfather was the chief dispatcher for Erie Lackawanna, but I don't think that had anything to do with me getting hired in Denver. Take care, man.
All right, you too. Thanks, Sheldon. By the way, high-speed trains, what supposedly this Amtrak was. Now, their high-speed rail in this country, I don't think exceeds more than 100 miles an hour. And that's on a dead straight track and fairly new. You're running that kind of tonnage at that kind of speed. Something goes wrong. Things don't happen and stop quickly, that's for sure. But it was kind of funny back in the 30s. The Germans were running their own high-speed trains. They were running trains at 150 miles an hour back in the 1930s. And, of course, in this country, we destroyed the railroads. We had to have something for the unions to do that weren't around yet, but, you know, like Teamsters and this, that, and the other. Well, let's just take all the rails we have in this country, which is the best way to ship distances, long distances, the cheapest way possible. Let's take all those rails and turn them into trails and bike paths. And then load up everything on trucks and go out there and grind the highways down to absolutely nothing. So it's hard on the infrastructure. But that's commerce, and you just get to share that road because it's actually the federal government's. Whew, wow. We'll be back tomorrow with you with another edition of the National Intel Report. We greatly appreciate you being here today. I'm sure Mike Rivera will be back tomorrow with bells on. And does anybody know where the hell Wynn Parker is? He's been missing in action now for 4 weeks. We are concerned. Please, folks, make a donation to the network. Keep the wheels on the tracks to keep this train running. We'll see you tomorrow.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.